I'd be minding my own business somewhere, and the Father said, "You got to take this message down. I've got something else for VCMI." He calls you by name. Amen. Isn't that great to know that the Father knows who you are? I think so. I have a few things to share with you today, and someone's probably going to have to tell me to stop. I get real excited, you know, when I start talking about heaven, and I still haven't. Pastor Tony feels like if he keeps bringing me, giving me more meetings, he'll hear all of it, but that's never going to happen. But he's going to get a lot more than others do because he's hungry. And when you're hungry, God will feed you. And we're going to hear about some fun things today in heaven. We're going to hear about more of who you are and how God made you. What that meant when he knit you together and he said you were wonderfully made. Specifically made in a unique way. And he likes you that way. Don't ever try to be somebody else. You know, if he'd wanted to be someone else, he'd have made you somebody else. You have to be you. You have to be who God made you to be. And he wants to use you. So praise God. I'm going to talk about God gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4, I think you've probably been hearing some of Ephesians 4 lately. But I have the other side of the story. I know you've been hearing about the fivefold ministry. And you know what? Those are some of the gifts, aren't they? God gave gifts to men. Some were the fivefold. But what were all the rest? Would you like to know? Because that's who you are. The rest of the gifts. And I know there's gifts of discernment, gifts of faith. I know those spiritual gifts. But you have a unique gift that God put on the inside of you. When he took that little eternal spirit and he knit it in the mother's womb at the time of conception, he took that eternal little spirit that was you before you were here on this earth. You lived in God. And when he sent you that little eternal spirit, your little spiritual being, in that little spiritual being, he put your personality and he put your gift. A gift that he wanted to be released in the earth, used in the earth for his purposes. And I found that the world doesn't have a problem knowing what their gift is, and they pursue it. But a lot of the body come and they sit in church. I'm not saying you all do that, but a lot of them do. They'll come and sit in church and try to figure out for years what the call on their life is in the fivefold ministry. Which of the fivefold gifts do I have? Because I know I have a gift. And guess what? It's not usually one of those five gifts. It's the gift he put on the inside of you when he sent you here. And a lot of people go through their life and never find out what that gift is, although it's very apparent to them. And you know, the Word of God says, I have a lot of scriptures written down. I was like up all night long getting all my notes because, you know, I have got 10,000 pieces of paper. I still don't do the computer thing and bring it up here because I would not know which button to push probably. And I'd be reading you the sales from some other store or something. So I have to do it the old-fashioned way and just bring notes. And they're usually on little pieces of paper, and sometimes I drop them. They float all over the platform, and they'll have a video of me and my brother be burning them, and he'll go, "Where did you disappear to? Because you were speaking, then you were gone," and I was probably picking up my notes. So I have a lot of notes, a lot of notes today, but they're all hooked together in one little book. So I sat up last night writing them all in this book. So I'm going to try to read some of them, okay? So yeah, Ephesians 4, and that's 8 through 11, where it talks about God gave gifts to men, and some were the fivefold. But I'm going to talk about, if those are some of the gifts, what are most of them? Because the opposite of some is most, right? Well, most of them were the things that you love to do more than anything else. And it should be very apparent what your gift is that God put on the inside of you. And it says, In Romans 11:29, it says your gifts and callings of God, they're without repentance. That means you can't go before him one day and say, I didn't know what it was. Because he's talking about the thing that you love the most. The thing you talk about, you dream about, you hope one day you can do that. If you could do that thing and make a living out of it, that's your gift. And the world, when their kids grow up, they actually will identify on purpose what their gift is. And they train them up in that gift so that they can use it in the earth. And you're going to hear a lot of revelation on the word today that you never even thought meant those things. I love revelation on the word. It brings it alive. So it also, there's another place in the word that says they're irrevocable. That means you can't turn them away. That's the eternal part of you God made you to be. And I have a whole list of some of those gifts. And in a minute, I'm going to read that to you. And so anyway, and then he kept giving me more scriptures, gave me some in the Romans 11, Romans 12, where it talks about we have many members in one body. All of these scriptures are related to your gift. And then I love the ones that talks about, then there's one in 1 Corinthians 12:18. It said, God set the members of every one of them in the body as it pleased him. You know, the scripture said that we're all members. We're one body, but have many members, all have different parts, all have different uses of those parts, but we all need one another. I'm paraphrasing now. And I really love this one, and you're really going to see this in just a minute, but I'm going to read you what some of those gifts are. And maybe some of you have some of those gifts. I'll read this one first because I wrote it down. Is that okay? Ephesians 4, it says, the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, and the Holy Spirit had me put gift in there, supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, your person, each person in the body, causes increase in the body. When we use that gift, that part of us that's a member in this body, when we all use our individual gifts, we bring increase in the body and to the edifying of itself in love. So it's really important for you to use that gift God put on the inside of you. And then the word also says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is what the Holy Spirit added, with unique and special gifts. You are carefully put together with your gift and personality. You're constructed perfectly for God's pleasure and the use of your gift he gave you. So you can see in the word it talks a lot about most of the gifts we have, what God put in us, set you apart from other people because it makes you unique. It says, they are the things you think about, talk about. It's a part of you and always will be. And these are some of those gifts that God gave. You don't have a gift. You are the gift to mankind. He sent you here as a gift. That's what you are. Don't ever think of yourself as that you don't have anything to offer. Everyone has a gift. And you know, I've told you before, and it all started with that when you go to heaven, you don't have a job. You get to use your gift. And I like to use an artist as an example, but you could use almost anything. Someone who trains horses to do barrel racing. You know, someone who designs flags or banners, or they bake really good cookies or pies. I like to talk about dessert, and that's not really a good thing to talk about when you're fasting, is it? But you can talk about it. Just don't eat it. I mean, you know, athletes have gifts, people who train dogs, inventors, high-tech people that use their gifts, boat captains, engineers, fabric designers, those are gifts. In heaven, you will use that gift as a part of your mansion. For some of you, is there anyone here who have never heard me speak before? Let me see your hand. Wow. Help them, Jesus. That's all I got to say. You need to get your natural mind, get a hold of it. Everybody, just go ahead and do it. It's fun anyway. Get your natural mind that's in this earth body and take it out and set it on a shelf. And you leave it there. Now pick it up before you leave. Because you need it to live in this world. But you don't necessarily need it when you come to church. Because the things of God are discerned by your
spirit.
Okay, so just open your spirit up to receive from the Father, because he is not a natural man. He is not a human being. He is a supernatural, almighty creator who, if you could look on the inside of him, you would see eternity. You would see no size, no end, no top, no bottom. In him is eternity. So you can't think of him as being a normal human being. He's not. But the thing that connects you to him is you are made in his image. We are all his children. In the book of Acts, it says, he is our father. We are his offspring. We were his little babies before he sent us here. And just because, I want to tell you again, you lived inside of him. You did not live somewhere in heaven. You didn't have a body, not even a spiritual body inside of you. You have a spiritual body that looks just like you if it stepped out, except it looks a whole lot better. You're going to look a whole lot better when you go home to heaven. You'll never get that perfection down here, I can tell you. All your loved ones up there, they look like they're in their 20s. They're filled with the light and glory of God. They can run and not be weary. Let me tell you, they can climb the mountain of spices and not even lose a breath. And they're high, higher than any mountains we have on this earth. And so you have to think of it. It's hard to, when you know Corinthians says, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart or mind of man, what God has prepared for those that love him, except it be revealed by his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in these days, he is catching people up to heaven, taking them on tours of heaven, and bringing them back so the people on this earth will know he's real, that heaven is real, that Jesus is real, and they need to know him. They need to know them. And he does take me. He's taken me ever since 1996 and never stopped. Aren't you glad? I'm happy. I stay happy all the time. Are you kidding? I'm not afraid to die. I know what Paul said when he goes, it's better if I go home. He had a glimpse up there. He knew what was up there. It's an amazing, awesome place. But God sent you down here so he could have a family. In heaven, you all feel like family. Everybody knows your first name. Everybody comes to see you, even the disciples, the prophets. King David will get you in his chariot and take you on tours of heaven. You have an amazing mansion. I know one of the translations says, in my father's house are many rooms, because they were afraid to get up there and find out you had a condo and not a mansion. But what they didn't know was, in my father's house, his house would be the world called heaven, where they have angels bigger than our planet. And they do. So let me tell you, there's plenty of room for you, all of your loved ones, and everyone else who wants to come. And so I'm talking about that place today. I'm talking about that God that loves you. You were just a little spiritual being of light. I tell people the best way I can describe you is, it doesn't sound very good, but you look sort of like a little gingerbread person. Other people have been caught up before the throne of God, and if you can bear to even look into the glory long enough, you'll see life coming from him. You'll see these little spirit beings moving in and out of him. You hear life coming in and out of God. It's this big whoosh. Louder than I can make it. You hear it. And they move in and out on the rays of glory. They move in and out of him. Because see, inside of him is eternity. We literally are his offspring. The word of God says you were chosen where? In him before the foundation of this world. That's where you lived. The scripture says, in him we live, we move, we have our very existence, our being. That then after that it says, the prophets and poets of old in the ancient times have spoken of these things. What things? When you lived in God. When they lived in God. And I asked the Father one time, how can I show them this really is true? Because, you know, some people, they don't have any idea where they came from. They know they were in heaven somewhere. It says their citizenship is there. And he said, ask them, where did that breath of life, where did that little spirit of life come from that I put in Adam? Anybody want to say that? He breathed it from in himself into that body. So that's where you all came from. And then after he made Adam and Eve, he set in motion a law that he would not stop. That at the time of conception, he would send one of those little eternal spirits, that would have been you, down to this earth. And he had to take that little, the Holy Spirit took that little eternal spirit, and he knit it together with that tiny bit of flesh at the time of conception. Now, I didn't always know this, but I just found this out, medical personnel and scientists have proven that at the time conception takes place, there is a flash of light. You can look it up, check it out. Isn't that amazing? Because that little eternal spirit that he knits together is light. If you stood before God's throne, you would see these little spiritual beings, light, like filled with light, moving in and out on the glory rays. They travel in and out of him. And that's where they live. A little girl was caught up to heaven one time, and she came back, and her mama said, what did you see? And she goes, well, I saw God, and he had fireflies coming in and out of him. Don't you love children? She said it the way she saw it. I know Jesse saw those little spiritual beings going in and out of God. It makes sense, doesn't it? That we had our very existence, if we're his offspring, if we're made in his image, we truly are his sons and daughters. We came from inside him. And so that's what happened. And when he sent you, you already had your personality. You had your gift that he wanted you to use in your life. And then in heaven, people's gifts in heaven, you may use them on the earth, but they will just, I tell you what, that creativity will explode when you get to heaven. If you're an artist in your mansion, you also have a studio. It's part of your home because it's a part of you. And everything you need to create that, whatever it is you make, whether it's a fashion design or jewelry or fine art or pottery or blown glass or whatever it is that you have that God gave you, you have a way, a workshop or a studio. Everything you need is given to you. It never runs out. And then you get a gallery at the end of your mansion, and everybody comes to look at your amazing, fun, exciting, beautiful things, and you give it to them. Amen. Isn't that the best way to live? So you get to use your gift in heaven, and if it's training horses, you get a stable with 100 of them. You get everything you need to do that, and the people come to ride your horses. See, you share your gifts in heaven. That's what you're going to do. So you don't have a job, you get to use your gift. And if you're a baker, yes, you get a bakery. That's the best part. The cinnamon rolls are the size of dinner plates. And in heaven, there's so many more dimensions and realms. Down here on earth, you know, you look at food, it smells good, it tastes good, it looks good. But in heaven, you actually see the aromas. You know, in the cartoons where it shows them going down the streets and the aroma gets them and draws them into the place, it happens in heaven a lot. So you will enjoy your life there. And God doesn't take your gift away. But what I really didn't know at the time I kept sharing that because I saw how heaven operated, I really didn't realize that you're supposed to do the same thing with it down here. Use it while you're here. And what God said was, I've given them a special gift, so that means they're very good at that thing. And if they used it in their life down here, they would attract others to them, or the realm or atmosphere. Like if you're a golfer, you know what happens with that. You're a football player, or whatever it is that you do on this earth, if you're excellent at it, then you attract people to you because of that gift. And those are the easiest people to share the gospel with, because they're already interested in who you are. Then you get to tell them why you have that gift, who gave you that gift, like Tebow does. Amen? You know what? He's going to win a lot of people for the kingdom, because he is using his gift. and he's using it in the right way. He's making sure everybody knows who gave it to him. He makes sure everybody knows who he thanks for that. And see, he's already shaking people with that. That's what we're supposed to do, no matter what it is that you create. Greeting cards, it doesn't matter, because whatever it is, you're good at it. If you always had a great desire to do something, maybe you love symphonies, maybe you're supposed to play in one. You never got to get trained on an instrument, but you love to listen to that music, you watch it when it comes on TV, you try to go there. That was probably one of your gifts. And so you need to identify it, especially in your children, because I'm gonna tell you another scripture that says, and I'm gonna give you the revelation on that scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. And almost everybody has said, train up a child to be a believer and know Jesus, and he'll never depart from the gospel or the kingdom. But you all know a lot of people run. When they get to a certain age, they start running around trying to figure out who they are. So this is what that scripture really means. This is what the Father said. Train up a child in the bent, in the gift, in the shape I made them to be, and they will never run out into the world trying to figure out who they are. And they'll never depart from what I made them, because they already know who they are. They're already using that gift that I gave them. It'll draw them closer to him, especially from the time of a child. They know he gave it to them. And I have proven that 3 times in my own life, because I identified that all 3 of my daughters, although born years apart, I did the waiting plan. Because some of you don't know, but I'm 1 of 15. I'm 3. That tells you where my place in life was, doesn't it? I was a mama from the age of 8. So now I get to have fun by going to heaven. I earned it. And the one thing God never listened to me say growing up was, I'll never have children. Every time I said that, I heard the Holy Spirit laughing at me. I tried to get out of it the best I could. And even when I met my husband, and there is a Cupid, his name is Holy Spirit. Because I was determined I didn't want to get married, and he shot me full of these love arrows, and I fell so absolutely madly in love with that man. I talked to a signpost about him. I didn't care. And the shocking news is he was an only child. He didn't have a clue. And he said he wanted 6 kids. And I told him to go find someone else. But you know what? God had a plan for the seed that we would have. And the Holy Spirit took me aside and said, excuse me, you're going to marry him. Do you not love him now? Because I didn't love him in the beginning. And I went, well, I just can't live without him. He goes, well, then you tell him you'll go make a deal. See, the Holy Spirit's going to get involved again. Tell him you have 3, but you're going to have them years apart. And let him promise you that you'll always be able to buy disposable diapers. And he agreed. And I'm paid in full. I've got 3 daughters. The first 2 are 5 years apart, almost to the day. And then after the second one, I need a little bit more time. She's the one who's the most like me. And I was trying to get out of having that 3rd one after having her. So there's 7 years between the last 2, but thank God I'm paid in full. Amen. God said, I need that holy seed that you're going to produce. I need them. And so I went to my husband, who wasn't my husband yet, the person I was very much in love with, and I said, I'm going to marry you, not because I can live with you, but because I can't live without you. Isn't that sweet? The Holy Spirit's such a romantic thing. And so that was our prenuptial agreement. I can buy as many disposable diapers as I want. And he was very, very happy, because all his life he wanted children. And he's got 3 beautiful daughters, and I identified immediately that they were going to be dancers. It wasn't real hard. Because it didn't matter what kind of music was playing, they danced. When they were little tiny babies and learned to walk, if they heard music, they danced everywhere. In the house, outside the house, down the driveway, in school. They never stopped dancing. And I went, God, I think they're supposed to be a dancer. It wasn't hard. And so we couldn't afford classes at the time, but I learned something a long time ago. I didn't never say never. I said, when your time is right, the door will open because you gave them that gift, and I'm going to make sure they get trained in it. And the second one came along 5 years later, the same exact thing. She danced everywhere, but she sang too. She sang and danced and acted, even at the dining room table. She watched something. She was that person for 2 weeks. She saw a very small part of Gone with the Wind, and she was Scarlett O'Hara for 2 weeks. She talked like her. She got a big pink floppy hat. She was 6 years old. And her first big break in the drama world, y'all mind me telling these stories? It's fun to find out about people, isn't it? Yeah. Guess what? You get to do this all over heaven because people have testimony time in heaven. And you find out a lot about people. And she got her first big break when she was 7. She got to play Queen Elizabeth in a school play. And she was Queen Elizabeth for 3 months. And I had to get her a formal prom gown and cut it down to fit her so it would have all these beautiful stuff on it. And she carried herself like Queen Elizabeth. She was the only one that didn't have to read from a script in the play. She memorized every line, the look, everything, the wave. She's waving to everybody. She wasn't supposed to, but she's waving to everybody in the congregation. And then somebody was playing, I don't know what kind, I don't remember everything, but there was Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev. And they even painted the thing on the kid's head. And they remembered half their lines, and she was getting real irritated at them. And so they're kind of messing up a little bit, and she looked at him, and she said, this was not in the script. But she always spoke her mind. And she goes, you need to be professional. I'm the queen. And most of her life, she wore little crowns wherever she could find them. And guess what her name means? Royal one. See, there's a little connection there. Her name means royal one, lady of honor, bringer of peace, gift of God. And she made sure everybody knew it. And then my third one came along. She was anointed to fight. They all danced. But by the time the second one came, they had a Christian ballet company come to our city for the first time called the Father's Company. I just love this whole story. And they went, the first lesson was free, they auditioned, and my first daughter, that was her real gift, her anointing. And even in the audition, she was like 8 and a half, and the teacher came afterwards, she said, if you give her to me, I'll never charge you for a class. And the second one can take them for free. 15 years of professional classes for free. Because I was determined my kids, my daughters would use that gift. And you know what? They never ran around. They never departed from it. So does that scripture make more sense to you? Yes. Train them up in the way that they were made to be in their gift, and they never depart from that gift because it's the thing they love the most. So you start identifying your children's gifts, maybe even your own. Because God wants you to use those. And I'm just going to read a few more of them. I put down here bakers. You notice that's first because of the desserts. Bakers, artists, florists, designers of fashion, of houses, toy makers, horse trainers, actors, actresses, producers, athletes, authors, people who sing, graphic artists, photographers, organizers, jewelers, hairstylists, dog trainers, inventors, coaches, high-tech experts. I don't know anything about that, let me tell you. I have a problem turning my television on. Tour guides, boat captains, engineers, farmers, fabric designers, chefs, that's also important, comedians, hospitality, interior designers, and you could just go on and on and on. When God said I gave gifts to men, and some were the Ministry 5-0 gifts, the most he gave were those gifts. So You're not supposed to have to run around trying to figure out who you are, what you're supposed to do. I probably get asked that question more than anything. Could you please tell me what the call in my life is, what my gift is? And I ask them, what do you love to do more than anything else in the world? If you could, if you had the money to do anything you could or use it to make a living with, what would that be? And they instantly know what that is. But they were all these years trying to figure out what the call and their ministry gift was. And I said, they said, but that's not a spiritual gift. I said, it couldn't be any more spiritual because he attached it to your spiritual being when he sent you here. It is your gift. And the call on your life is to use that gift in the earth. And by doing that, you release a part of the kingdom that he put in you. And then you influence everybody in that realm of where you use your gift. We're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature, but the ones you can win the easiest are those who are connected to you in some way. Amen? So that's, to me, that is what has been such an amazing revelation to share with the body of Christ, and whole congregations get so excited. I just got back from Canada, and the pastor's wife, and God's been so good to me. I have now got translations in Sri Lanka. Their language is called Tom, and Hungarian, and in Honduras. I spoke to 3 international congregations, and they were all interpreted, so I'm real excited. I'll have DVDs and CDs now, and I haven't even been to those countries. Amen? Amen? And yet it'll reach those people. And I spoke about the gifts, not as much in detail, but the pastor's wife, in the middle of all it, jumps up and starts yelling and screaming. And let me tell you, she was gorgeous women. She had clothes on like you wore in Sri Lanka. Those beautiful colors and just all the bling that they have on them and the way they put it together. And I thought, all her little girls were dressed beautifully. And I found out later that's what she did. She wanted to be a fashion designer, but she had just laid it down before I got there. She said, honey, how can I be a minister's wife and do fashion design that just doesn't seem to fit? And he cried. He said, honey, that's your gift. You need to use it. She goes, no, that's not a spiritual gift. I need to find out what it is. So I'm praying God will show me when Kat comes. And one of the first thing I mentioned was fashion designers. And it totally changed her whole life. And now she's pursuing it 100%. And aren't you glad? Amen. She almost laid down the very thing God put in her to do in the earth. And she's going to start a business where she actually can take a person and unique to their personality and their coloring, design whole wardrobes for them. Who wants to go and see her? Amen, I do. So see right there, that changed the pastor, his wife, and their whole congregation got so excited to know that the thing they actually love the most is what they're supposed to be using. You don't have to search. If you are going to have a fivefold ministry gift, they will let you know. You will know, okay? Because you'll prophesy to the trees, you'll preach to the dog. It doesn't matter, you go and win the lost. It doesn't matter, you'll stand on any street corner anywhere and talk to anything that's alive, and maybe even some that aren't, to preach the gospel, because that will show up on the inside of you. And so people in the body, he said, my children sit there wondering every week when they come to service, maybe I'll find out today what my calling is, my gift. He says, so I'm going to just tell them, it's what I already put in you. This is the best news. In the days, months, and years ahead, for the first time on this earth, God is going to open doors for the body to use those amazing gifts. Amen. And many of you will be entrepreneurs that will open those doors in this region. I'm talking about specifically about you right now, the ones who are present now. Don't think of the things the way they've been done in the past, because God's about to do something new with his body. And regardless of what it looks like in the economy, you wait and watch God. Because he's not done with you yet. He's not done with the body yet. He is going to show off on the inside of you, not just in spiritual gifts and healings and miracles, but in entrepreneurship and making you millionaires. Because the kingdom, the body needs money to do things for heaven. And they're not poor. One of the biggest lies the devil ever gave was, you can't be holy and be rich. And that's not true. Most of the people in the Word, especially the Old Testament, were the wealthiest people that God used. And especially as prepared as you are getting, I can tell you, you bless the heart of God. Because you're pursuing something He wished the whole body would pursue. Connect with Him. Take time apart for Him. Like what you do every January, you get all of heaven watching you. That you're willing to lay down your body and its desires and pursue Him. Get in His presence and now get in shape. You're showing God you're serious. Amen? He is not going to pass you by. You will have an impact in this region and even beyond this region by some of the things that you will build, own, and operate and provide jobs for people in. Amen. That's just a word for you right now. And so it's so important for you to use that gift to help establish His kingdom in the earth. But you and your children and your grandchildren, probably their children, will have to have some of the greatest opportunities of open doors from heaven and download from heaven that's never happened before in the earth. 2012 is definitely, it is an earmark on God's calendar. There's already been a shift in the spirit realm. There's a huge shift coming in this year. It's already begun to for the last outpouring to begin to take place. He's shaking up His body and letting them know who they are, who He is, and they better get ready so they don't miss what He's going to do with them. And I can tell you, I'm about to be released worldwide. This revelation is about to go worldwide. Amen. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the fat of the land. Pray that my people be willing in the day of my power. This is His day He was talking about. Be willing to get ready. Be willing to hear Him. Be willing to obey. Obedience is very key in the days ahead. And also walking in holiness. Because yes, it is going to get darker. And if you don't have that close relationship with Him, it's going to be a whole lot easier for the enemy to get you and deceive you. You cannot even live your life the same way you have in the past. This is a whole new time on this earth that we've ever had before. You have to stay on that path. You have to have that intimate relationship with Him. You have to be walking in the Spirit, hearing the Holy Spirit, fleeing the appearance of evil. Okay, you have to come close to Him. And Monday night, I'm going to talk about exposing darkness like I never have before. The operations in the spirit realm, how it's going to be different now in the years of even that is a shift in that. Okay, not just the body and the kingdom of God is there a shift. It's also happened in hell. It's also happened in the second heaven. Things are going to be different. And I know a lot of people think, excuse me, see, I don't want to waste time even to take a drink. Amen. Things are going to be different. 2012, yes, He's coming. He's coming to set you on fire. He's not coming to rescue you and take you out of here. Who's He going to use if He takes you out of here? Who's going to do those amazing works over the next 15, 20 years that have never been done on this earth before? Who's going to carry that glory around this earth until it covers it like the waters do the sea? Who's going to raise the dead who've been cremated? Can I ask a question? Is that a greater work? And this is what God says. What difference does it make if they're dead? They're dead. They're dead if they're all together. They're dead if they're in parts, or they're dead if they're ashes. And you will do greater works than Christ did. Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. He was stinking. Well, you raise people from the dead that don't smell like anything but burnt ashes. You're going to hear about the manifested sons and daughters of God tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. Because I don't know, you may be able to get some revelation, a little bit of it somewhere, but I can tell you this is coming straight from the Father to you. When he said, I'm going to shake all things, he didn't just mean exposing the wicked things on the earth. He meant, I'm going to expose the operations of the enemy like I never have before. I'm going to expose heaven, reveal myself in heaven, the authority I have given you, the dominion you are supposed to be walking in, and what that looks like, who the glorious church is and what they look like, and why the Antichrist will not be able to come on the scene until the body, the glorious church, is taken out of here. And see, the body doesn't have a clue who they are. They don't have a clue of what the glorious church is, or they wouldn't be running for the hills. A lot of ministries are packing up and moving up in the mountains so they can make it through the tribulation. I don't know anywhere in the Word of God that says to go hide in the hills. Do you? It doesn't say to hide your money and hoard food, does it? It says to share with one another what we have. It says to give and it shall be given unto you. It says preach the gospel to reach the lost. You can't reach them in the hills unless maybe the raccoons or bears. So we're not supposed to be running up into the hills and hiding, and you're not supposed to be living in fear. Matthew says, take no thought for your life. Some pastors need to be reminded what the Word says. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's how we're always supposed to be until the day he takes us out. And you know what? It doesn't matter to me whether I die and go home before or during the rapture. Who cares? Your job is to finish your race. It is not to escape. I'm sure. Amen. I can almost promise you that if Elijah had to do it over again, he would not want to escape. He doesn't have any condemnation, but I'm sure if he had to do it over again, his second chance, he would not want to escape because he wanted to get out of here because it was looking bad. You don't want to escape. You want to stand up and make a difference in this world. Amen? And your amazing gifts that he put on the inside of you will impact this world. You need to start making plans to use your gift because God is going to let it happen. He's going to show off in his body. Amen? Amen. So those gifts, they're an eternal part of you. And I better you include this one. My husband might be upset. A fisherman. That's a gift. God also gave gifts even to the disciples. You do realize that, right? They were using their gift when he found them. Most of them were fishermen. That wasn't easy for Jesus. I know what they smell like. I know what the bait smells like. And you look at dead fish bodies all the time. And not a pleasant thing. I guess you can tell I hate seafood and my husband's a fisherman. Isn't God funny? He had fishermen, a physician, a handler of money. That would be the taxer. And even Jesus had a gift, right? And did he use it? He used it in excellence. See, even he had a gift when he was sent to this earth. And he used that gift. And he did impact people with that gift. And I don't know why, you know, if you've never paid for a finished carpenter, if you have, then you know they're wealthy people. I'm not talking about a cheap one where everything falls apart. I'm talking about one who does it in excellence. They make a lot of money. And back in those days, if you were an excellent carpenter, all the wealthy people wanted you to make their furniture and build their houses. And I can promise you, Jesus had a huge house. Mary had a huge house, and she had a lot of kids. And he had a lot of wealthy friends. And the only thing that moves the wealthy is, guess what? Wealth. I know that. That's the only thing that gets their attention. They don't want God, but they want to know you if you have wealth. And not just everybody in those days was invited to weddings. The wedding that Jesus turned the water into wine was not a relative's wedding. They were invited because he was exciting. He was charismatic. People liked him. He was well known in the city. And so was Mary, his mother. And so that's the circles that they operated in. Lazarus was an extremely wealthy man. Even the clothing that Jesus was wearing when he went to the cross, they don't gamble for junk, do they? They won't be gambling for a bathrobe. And I can tell you, they did gamble for Jesus' garment he had on because it was made without seams, which was almost impossible to get back in those days. So yes, and you know what? His body, he never meant for any of us to be poor. And you need to get that in your mind. It's the love of money. The love of money is what's bad, not money. We need it to move this world. We're going to build things for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of heaven. Even some things that will be used during the millennial reign, we will build those. We will help. I love this one. The Father said that the body will help to pay off the national debt. Amen. They will help to pay off the national debt. That'll get some attention, won't it? Amen? I'd like to do that. So if even God's Son had a gift and he used it, that's what your call on your life is. You're supposed to use that gift. And it gets exciting when you get to use your gift. I'm a photographer. That's mine. I knew it. I've taken pictures with it. My mom's old Brownie camera that looked like a box. You know, when I was real young, that's what I had to use, and it took black and white pictures that were kind of smudgy looking. You know, but I didn't care. I had to have something to take photographs with. And I loved doing it, so I used my gift. And so he let me do this. I'm blessed. Amen. So you need to understand that that's what you were called to do. The gift, the thing that he planted on the inside of you. You use it in this earth and then impact people in that realm, that atmosphere, where you use your gift. And it's going to be real easy to do that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So you need to start making plans to use that gift he put on the inside of you. And if any of you have lost jobs, you need to be rejoicing. I am really serious about that. As a matter of fact, anyone who's lost their job, please stand up. If you're without a job right now, I want you to look up to heaven and say this. Father, I am so excited that you are in charge of my life, not the enemy and not man. I am your child. You are my provider. I'm expecting something better than I had. Something greater than I had. Because you desire to bless me as your child. I am part of your kingdom. I love people for you. I worship you first. So show off on my behalf. Use me as an example to this world. That you can open doors. Where there were no doors. If you have to, you'll create a new business just so I can have a job there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how you petition the Lord. Not by crying, complaining, calling everybody you know. Say, you just got dumped. They just cut us all out of the company. That's because he has something better for you. Amen. Amen. And I can stand here and tell you I have experienced that myself. And guess what I did? I did what you just did. And I did it every day. And look what I'm doing now. Amen. Amen. If you really believe he is who he says he is, if you really trust him, you go to a point in your life where you know you move from trust to faith. And when you enter into that supernatural realm called faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. Because the eyes of God will be on your life. And you get him excited. If you know somebody that lost their job, you tell them, just start worshiping God. If they don't know him, say, receive him now, begin worshiping, and see how long it takes for him to bless you and open doors for you. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Guess what? That's another scripture to prove that you were a little light in God. That's another revelation. The Father of lights, that was you before you came here. Your spiritual being is made out of light. Let your light shine. Don't hide your light. You were light before you came down here. Now you're supposed to be a bigger light. Amen? Amen. So don't hide it. Don't walk around in worry and fear. Let the world know you believe in God and trust him. Now that's a testimony, isn't it? Amen. And if you don't like the job you got, just keep loving God and he's going to move you anyway to something better. Amen. That was just for free. Amen. And before we're done, I am going to have everybody stand up and I'm going to stir up that gift in you. And we're going to declare some things, but now I get to share for a few minutes a fun place in heaven. Is that okay? This is a brand new place I've been taken to heaven, and I get excited. I think it can't get any better than this. How could it get better than you showing me your very heart? You know, for those of you who don't know, the heart of God, you know what the word says, our God is a consuming fire. And no one ever connected it with the fact that Lucifer walked up and down in stones of fire. That was God's heart. See, he stuns people with revelation. That was the kind of relationship. I'll talk more about that, even though I've talked about it before. That's part of what I'm going to talk about tomorrow night. Who was Lucifer before he fell? What did he look like? Literally, what did he look like? Why he stole the glory for himself and what it means when a believer sins. You're going to get some major revelation. What happens when a believer sins, knowingly sins? What happens in the spirit realm? What that does for the enemy? And so you're going to have a lot of deep revelation. But really, truly, the very heart of the Father are the stones of fire. He has them on the inside. Inside him are stones of fire, and they burn with love and passion for you. Those stones of fire are gemstones. And some of you are looking at me like, well, that's just too wild. But it actually proves itself. Because the Father, when he showed me that, he said, I'm going to show you how the rainbow is generated from my being. What happens when you hold a faceted stone up to a light? Anybody know? What's it make? Say it loud. A rainbow of colors. Correct? In the very heart of God, the heart of his spirit, which is right here. This is where the heart of your spirit is. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of God's belly flows the river of life. You see how you're made in his image? Does that show you part of it? And God is the river of life. It flows out of him. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. It's the same thing. You can produce the river of life comes from you when you're speaking like God speaks. When you're living like God lives. It flows from you. It brings life to people. It changes the atmosphere in your home or where you work. So there's many, God showed me many different things of how we're made in His image. I spoke on that down at Pastor Cynthia's Women's Conference, 2010. That was an awesome time. Who was there? Amen! I still like to listen to that conference. It was powerful. It was powerful. But Lucifer actually had that relationship. He walked on God's heart, inside God. In Ezekiel it says, when he fell, the Father said, I forever destroyed your ability to enter into the stones of fire. See, Revelation opens up the scriptures for you. He stepped in him. Remember I told you inside of him is eternity? We all came from him. There's no limit to the space inside God. There's this beautiful, holy river, and I can even tell you why they call it the Crystal Sea. Did you ever wonder? Because the river of life flows out of the heart of God, carrying millions of gemstones in the river of life. It flows all over heaven, becomes the Crystal Sea, because there are gemstones in it. And I used to tell people when I first saw it, it looked like you dumped a million diamonds in it. And lights shoot up out of that sea everywhere. It's absolutely breathtakingly beautiful to see it. And that made sense to me when God showed me that what his heart was, the stones of fire was his heart. It made sense that people who've had near-death experiences have jumped in the river of life and picked them up in their hands. They wanted to bring them back, but when they came back, guess what? They didn't come with them. Amen. But guess what? He's dropping them all over the world right now. And you know what he's doing? He's sending bits of his heart to earth. That makes them even more valuable. That's why gemstones are valuable. They represent love. What do you give somebody when you get engaged? A diamond or a gemstone, is that correct? Because it represents love. There's a lot of meaning in many things, if you can see, and I don't have time to tell you. That's it. That's all I'm going to tell you about tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow night. You're going to love it. Well, I was somewhere recently, and I forget really because I go so many places. I don't even usually know what day it is. I know today's Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Today's Sunday. I have missed our anniversary, my birthday, my husband's birthday. Last year at Christmas, we were decorating the tree Christmas Eve. And when everybody woke up, I was trying to stuff the stockings, and I fell asleep. I didn't care. I think we had some presents days later. But when you become so engaged in what God has you, you become disconnected with a lot of other stuff in your life that's not important. I come home to be with my family and to unpack my suitcase and pack it. And I walk past all the stuff I used to enjoy, and you know what? I don't even see it anymore. I don't even see it because I'm so excited to do something for him. And when I tell you, there will come days and months and years in your life where it feels like you're plowing and plowing and you're hitting rock and hitting rock, but the whole time God is preparing you for your door of destiny to open. And when that door opens, it's like you're walking in a dream. Because even when resistance comes from the enemy and you're in that dream, it doesn't touch you. Because you are prepared. That's what he's doing with all of you right now. He's preparing you for that door of destiny to fly wide open for you. I'm so excited for you. Amen. Amen. But I love when young people ask questions. I was somewhere and a 17-year-old girl asked me something. And I had seen a glimpse of this in heaven, but I didn't really know exactly what it was. There's many things I can't even begin to describe that I saw. I just let you know this, artists don't just paint on canvas, they paint the skies of heaven. You're unlimited in using your gift when you get to heaven, okay? When you design fashions, you don't just use fabric. People get clothed in light. They get clothed in music. They get clothed in color. It just rocks your mind, doesn't it? You walk and your clothes make music. I'm still overwhelmed every time I see the beauties and wonders in heaven, But there's a lot of fun places because you know what? That's why he said you have to be like what? Little children to come into heaven, right? Why do you think he ever would have said that? If it was going to be a boring place, do you think he'd want to be stuck with a bunch of little kids and have a boring? That's nothing, almost no more miserable than that. I know I was trapped in a house in a snowstorm in upstate New York with seven of my siblings for 3 weeks. It was not a happy place. So if he wants you to be like kids or you're going to feel like kids, it is going to be fun and exciting. And I kept getting asked the same question. Do we interact with nature in any way in heaven? Well, I knew the flowers sang. Most of the flowers sing when you walk past them. They change colors. I knew I'd been to some people's mansions and they had trees growing right up out of the ground in their living rooms. You could just sit there in your nice chair and pick your fruit off and eat it right there and not have to go anywhere. They had living flowers growing out of their walls that would sing to them when you come home to your mansion. So there was some things I knew about nature, but not really a lot until he started taking me to a place. Now, I've told you all many times, they name everything in heaven. They name buildings and places and events, and you will have a nickname when you get to heaven. The word says that God's going to give you a little white stone with a name only you and he know. It will be a nickname. It won't be some long, profound name that you cannot pronounce. I used to try to imagine how long that name was going to be for me and how big that stone had to be to write it on. And it isn't. It's a nickname he has for you because they name everything. And so he started taking me to this place called the Friendly Forest. Guess why they call it the Friendly Forest? Because everything in there talks, sings, and dances. The trees, the rocks, the waterfalls, they all have faces. And now you're really looking at me like, wow. Now some people are really like a little kid, you're excited. The rest of you aren't sure what to think. And the wonderful thing was right after he started taking me there, I had a major confirmation about that. Actually two right in a row. But he actually took me into this place. Before you enter in, there's a beautiful meadow and this huge forest. You can't see the end of it. Just beautiful colors shooting in and out. Some of the trees are gold, some are silver. And that's okay because it's heaven. You know, I'm not commercializing heaven. It was there before this was here. And the trees that are gold and silver, their leaves look like they're made out of mesh, like gold mesh. I saw this tree uproot itself and put its branches around somebody and go walking into the forest with them talking. And you may be thinking of several movies right now that had that in there. Guess where they got that idea from? More and more, I'm seeing things in movies that I know are in heaven. Those people don't know. They think they thought of that themselves. But I have a shock for them. It came from heaven. And so I know that when you enter into this meadow, I had shared before that I saw this whole family running. Families do a lot of things together in heaven. You have your own place, you know. Amen. You don't get set, you don't have to look for your family when you get to heaven. They will be waiting for you. You will be praying for a moment to be alone. Because they've been waiting for you to get there and show you every good, wonderful thing they know you want to see. And you multiply that how many you got up there, you'd be lucky to have any time yourself. And I saw this family running in this beautiful meadow, and there's these 6-foot-tall flowers, but the petals, instead of facing out like this, they were like this. Like, almost like helicopter blades, and guess what? That's what they were. People were running, and I saw them kept running. They grabbed this flower, and the flowers caught them up, and the petals became blades and carried them across heaven. They took this family somewhere, left them. They came right back where they were and seated themselves back in the ground. Isn't that exciting? I'm telling you, you won't be bored. Well, I have found now that meadow is the entrance into the Friendly Forest. And they actually, if you come and you don't want to go somewhere, they actually will come with their little leaves, grab your hands and dance, do little circle dances. And you know where it says even the rocks will cry out? I have seen it happen. I was taken in this beautiful forest. I sat down by this brook that came off the Crystal Sea. And when I sat down, there was a huge boulder next to me. People go, what does that have to do with heaven? I'm just giving you revelation. This huge boulder, the top of it turned and it had a face on it. It started talking to me. But now, see, I'm not like me here. I feel like I'm 8 years old when I go to heaven. So that was real exciting to me. 8-year-olds can handle things a whole lot better than your adulthood, okay? Kids don't have a problem receiving stuff when they get there. They run in like they always expected it. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, this huge boulder starts praising God. I mean, as loud as it could, praising God. And all of a sudden, the water in front of me came up, gathered up like this, and it had a face, and it started singing the same song this boulder was singing. Even the little pebbles on the ground all had little faces, and they all started jumping up and down singing praises to God. The trees in the forest all started singing the same song. I was in the middle of a symphony in this forest. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And I thought, this place is fantastic. And it all started with a 17-year-old girl saying, this is going to sound strange, but do the trees have faces and do they talk to you? See, young people expect it. They expect that to happen. And so I was excited. And then he took me back, and I called a friend of mine. By the way, your pastors already know about this. I always give them new revelation. Okay, I call them. They're on my top of my list. I got to call Pastor Tony and Cynthia because I know they're going to enjoy this. Some people might think I'm nuts, but they won't care. So I call and tell them new revelation. And I called another friend of mine, Sister Billy Brim. She was out speaking, but Phyllis is her assistant. And I start sharing about the friendly forest in heaven, and she starts yelling. She said, stop, stop. She goes, did you hear what happened after you left the last time you were here? I went there and spoke for a 2-hour meeting that turned into 6.5 hours. And a lady was there and bought one of my books. I don't remember if it was her husband or father, a family member was in the process of dying. And they took that book back and read that book to them, and they read it every day for 2 weeks. And then it got real close to this person leaving, and he started telling her, I keep seeing myself with this tree. Now, this is all true. And he kept telling her, I believe it was her husband, because he said to his wife, I keep seeing myself with this gold tree. And I have seen visions of myself 3 times in 3 different places of heaven. And this tree is my best friend. And he has his branch around me. And he walks with me. And she said, that's nice, honey. I know you're going home to heaven. You know, she was humoring him. She didn't know if he was just seeing things or what. But he did see the Lord. I saw a couple family members. But the tree, she couldn't get it. The last 3 days of his life, every day, he talked about being with that tree. Once it was in the streets, on the streets of gold, and he was just talking. They were talking. One time it was in the throne room. One time it was in his mansion. And so he passed on gloriously to heaven. They had a big celebration party. It makes a big difference when you know what's in heaven. You miss them, but that horrible grief is just cut off. That fear of death is taken from you. And so she started praying. She said, Lord, I really want to know. Was my husband really imagining that? Or do you really have trees that talk to you? And 3 times in a row, he caught up this man's wife. And she saw her husband in heaven with that gold tree. She saw him on the streets of gold talking with this beautiful gold tree. His leaves looked like they're made out of gold mesh. She had a face. And they were laughing and talking about something. She caught him up again. He was in the throne room worshiping with this tree. And she's like, I understand God, but he wasn't done. He took her the last time to his mansion, and there that man was, and that tree was rooted in the ground of his mansion, and he was in that mansion with that man. And so I got a major confirmation. Amen. So when you go to heaven, if you want to have fun, you can go to the friendly forest. They'll be really friendly. Amen. So I'm telling you, you're never, ever going to stop being overwhelmed and blessed when you get to heaven. Your daddy in heaven is unlimited in his ability to create things for you and bless you. And he never stops doing it. It's not like you go home to heaven, you have a welcome home party, he greets you, and then that's it. It isn't like that. He is involved in your life for all eternity. You have ways you can be alone one-on-one with just the Father. There's ways you can be alone with Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? But you know what? You fall in love with everybody in heaven. You can't help it because you're living in the love of God. We need to start doing that down here, don't we? Amen. So please y'all stand up. Stand up, please. I want you to raise up your hand. Both, if you can, both. Because I'm going to have God do something right here. I'm going to have him stir up that gift. Your gift that is a part of you, that he made you with, that you're supposed to impact this world with. And let me tell you, like I told you before, the world doesn't have a problem identifying their gift and using in this world. Put your hand down for 1 second. The Holy Spirit, I love him, he's my best friend. He said, you forgot one very important scripture. And now if I could remember it after he told me what it was, I'll be doing really good. Thank you, Father, for showing me what it was again. Amen. I get so excited sharing about heaven. Well, I shared with you before that the world didn't have a problem figuring out what their gift was, right? And they use it. That's their natural thing that they do. They didn't even have to pray about it. They know what their kid loves to do, and they make sure they get trained in it, and they're using that gift. They're going for it with everything they have to use that gift. He gave me revelation on the scripture about the hot, the cold, and the lukewarm. And it's about your gift. He said, the hot are my kids who've identified that gift I put in them, and they're going for it. They're using it. They're going after it with everything they have, impacting the area or the arena that their gift is in, using the gospel, releasing it while they're using that gift. That's the hot. The cold actually makes sense for the first time to me when God showed me this. The cold is the world. Using that gift, identifying it, releasing it in the earth, using it, going for it with everything they got. That's the cold. He said, all I have to do is get them born again, and they're hot. They already know what their gift is, that I planted on the inside of them. They're already using that gift in the world, so it makes it real easy. I'd rather you be hot, using the gift, knowing me, going for it with everything you got, identify the gift, that natural gift he gave you, using it in the world, the cold, using it with everything they got, but just not knowing him. It's real easy. He gets them saved. They're hot, right? This is lukewarm. Don't know, don't care, and don't plan to do anything about it. I will spew you out of my mouth. You know why? He can't use you. You don't even care to find out. And if you know, you don't care either. That's lukewarm. Can you see that revelation? It makes sense, right? Because why would he say, I want you hot or cold? Cold doesn't even know him. It's about your gift. That's how important it is. Amen? Hallelujah. So hold up your hand. We're gonna stir up that gift on the inside of you. We're going to stir up that gift that he put in you when he sent you from heaven. You will use it in heaven. You will use it in eternity. He's about to open doors all over this world so you can use that gift now in your lifetime. So raise up your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I'm going to use my gift.
That part of me
that came from heaven.
That part of me
that identifies me.
That part of me
you want me to release in this world
so
I can impact people
in that arena
for the gospel.
So send down fire from heaven.
Right now,
I
want you to touch your spirit right here. Touch it and say, Father, stir it up.
Stir it up.
Right now.
Right now.
Keep stirring.
Keep stirring.
I receive it.
I see it.
I'm going to run after it. Nothing.
No one.
Will keep me.
From
using that gift.
Now.
In heaven.
In eternity.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Everybody say, thank you, Father. I want you to yell it.
Thank you, Father.
For my gift.
I am the gift.
To this world.
From you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Take it. It's mine. I receive it. And I release it. That's how spiritual people think. We think from the spirit to the natural. We move from the spirit to the natural. We move and manifest from the spirit to the natural. It's, man. Somebody shout supernatural turnaround. Somebody shout by this time tomorrow. I sense your faith elevating. I sense something stirring. Man. Tell somebody, I got an unction. It's from the Holy One. I got an unction that needs to be released. Don't you feel yourself stirring up right now? Don't you feel it? I feel the Holy Ghost working on the inside of me. I feel something coming from the spirit to the natural. I think Kat released something up in here. I think heavens have released something up in here. I know I got it. Tell somebody, I know I got it. I know I have it. If you got it, shout hallelujah 3 times. Woo! Glory! Glory!